Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Save big money at Menards. Let the fresh air in and keep the bugs out with replacement screen for your doors and windows from AdForce. It's easy to install, durable against the elements, and comes in a variety of types to suit your needs. Repair your screens today with a roll of replacement screen on sale through May 5th. And check out more great deals happening now in our weekly flyer on Menards.com.
Save big money at Menards.
You are now listening to the Philly Pod,
a Philadelphia sports podcast.
What is going on, y'all? Welcome to a new episode of the Philly Pod. But
I'm sorry, you made this weird and fucking noise.
I glared at you.
Alright, just roll with it.
Oh my god, appreciate y'all for tuning into this show, to the Philly Pod, brought to you by thelibertyline.com. I'm your host today, Victor Williams. You can follow me on Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, at the Philly Pod, or any other platform you digest Eagles content. Be sure to go over there, TikTok, Instagram, Twitter, all that fun stuff. I do a lot of engaging content, whatever you want to call it in this day and age. Be sure to go over there and give us a follow. If you're new to the show, subscribe on Apple, iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, iHeartRadio, Odyssey, anywhere else you get your shows. Be sure to leave those reviews, rate 5 stars. Each and every review does bring new eyes and ears to the show, brings new exposure, brings it to new Eagles fans or NFL fans in general. So thank you guys who have been doing that, and welcome the guys that have found us within the last few weeks and are tuning into the audio side for the first time. So appreciate you guys. Hope you guys do stick around. Joined as always by my illustrious co-host. You can follow him on Twitter, TikTok, Instagram at Stephen Conrad Jr. Instagram is real Stephen Conrad Jr. He is Stephen Conrad Jr. What's up? Yep, post Miami trip. Me and Stephen and three of the other Liberty Line guys, we all flew out to Miami for game 5, got our shit kicked in and left the next day. And it was we all decided to fly down the day before. We all got on a plane, found a room, flew down for the game, hung out, and got laughed out of the stadium and flew back home the next day in depressing fashion. So, but despite what you may believe, it was not our fault they lost. People were blaming us, blaming Liberty Line that we were in the building, so they lost.
Yeah, we're
the not professional
guys.
Basketball players. It's not us. It is not us. But yeah, post-Miami trip, got some fun things in the coming weeks. We've been working on studio space, working on in-person studio space. Steven will give you the whole rundown on the on why he likes it. Steven's like whole kick is like doing things IRL, and prior to this, we're having internet issues. So I guess it's a good thing we're going to be doing these things.
I'm just tired of in the year 2022, internet can still be a problem. But I've always wanted the idea was always to make this show an in-person show. You know, when it's all said and done. So stay tuned for that. Obviously, you guys have been subscribed and new subscribers are on the audio platforms, whether that's, you know, Apple, Spotify, whatever that may be. But we are moving to video. So check out our YouTube page.
Don't make it sound like we're getting rid of audio, all right?
No. Audio will always be there. And like, that's the thing with me. I'm an active podcast consumer. I consume our podcast. I like to listen to it. I like to have the video and the audio. Like the audio is fantastic for when you're in the car, you know, if you're working out, going for a run or something, whatever. But the video is good, you know, because you want to see like what you're listening to, the people that are talking. I mean, you probably turn on our video on, you see me, you're probably like, oh, this is the guy that's spinning out all these hot takes. You would be correct.
Yeah, so audio will always still be around, but we're transitioning to working on studio space as we speak to start doing shows from studio and getting the audio about a little crisper for y'all. And the whole bit, so be on tap for all of that. But of course, all the loyals have been here since they've gone through all the softwares and everything we've been through to get this pod out. So I can't thank you guys enough for that. Always I guess we got to plug the sponsor so that we can like pay our bills one of these days. SeatGeek, the leading ticket platform.
Especially me, now that I'm out of college.
Yeah, you're out of college. I graduated. Yeah.
Real life.
And Sally Mae shit is catching up. You got 6 months to figure the fuck out. StubHub is the leading mobile ticket platform. Be sure to use promo code PhillyPod to get $20 off your first ticket purchase. Phillies games, Eagles games for next season. Now that the schedule is out, if you're looking into that, you can cop tickets on SeatGeek. Promo code ThePhillyPod saves you $20 off your first purchase. Your next best night ever is waiting. We will be at quite a few Eagles games next year, including Arizona. In week 5, we'll be flying down to Arizona for the Cardinals game. Catching Kyler and all them down there. We're getting flown out from Friday to Monday, I believe. We'll be down there in Arizona. The Liberty
Speaking
will be flying
of IRL
down.
Content and podcast, boom.
Yeah, that's another reason. Vlogs, V-logs. V-logs will be in effect when we are down in Arizona for those 4 days for the Cardinals game. Flying with fans of Philly, courtesy of them. So be sure to go give them a look if you're looking to plan any away games. And they do a really good job of getting you set up with rooms and accommodations and the whole bit. So fans of Philly is your go-to for that. So be sure to go ahead and give them a look if that is something that is on your agenda for the 2021 season. Or is it 2022? 2022 season. I don't even know what the fuck year it is anymore. Damn. Jesus Christ. Ever since COVID, it's been a blur.
Still got COVID brain.
Yeah, it's not going. I barely know the days of the week anymore. It's bad. It's bad. Running the Liberty Line, running a full-time blog, and it's bad. It's bad. It gets your mind all frazzled up. But there are some exciting things to talk about. The Eagles have added yet another corner. James Bradberry in tandem with Darius Slay. The Eagles have brought him in 1 year, $7.25 million contract, worth up to $10 million. You guys know all the details by now. He was signed last Wednesday. So now we have him with Darius Slay in the secondary. And then people are starting to wonder, well, what happens now with Tay Goin, Zach McPherson, some of these other
really
guys.
Wondering that?
I mean, I mean, I was wondering, but I guess the fans were really celebrating. I was celebrating, obviously, because now we have two of the most productive corners in the league since 2016. Yep. So, Steven, I guess your initial reactions to Bradberry coming here. How formidable is this defense? Expectations for Jonathan Gannon? What does Bradberry ensure that the Eagles are able to do for next season defensively?
Wow. I mean, look, so James Bradberry, okay, so the narrative going around is he had a down year last year, and people are then going on to say that he's on the quote-unquote decline. I don't really see how one season can do that. Like, guys, I don't think you realize, I'm not saying everybody, I don't mean to speak for everybody, but like, man, scheme and the system and coaching players are put in can really determine and kind of give you a trajectory of the type of season that they're going to have. And Vic will get into the details better than me, but I mean, come on. The Giants, he was asked to be their best coverage corner, probably not in the best system. And on the flip side, come over here to Philadelphia, be that corner two opposite of Darius Slay, but also in a system more catering to his strengths, as the Eagles were one of the top in the NFL running zone defenses. I know a lot of fans probably don't like that here in Philly, but it's just the reality of it. It's how Gannon runs his defense. Will that change? It might. He has talent now in the secondary. He has talent in the middle at the linebacker spots. The defensive line is better. It puts Avante Maddox in his natural role there in the slot, which he should always be in. He should have never been in any other spot. Look, man, that corner two hole, we'll just call it what it is, this offseason was one of the biggest needs, I think, heading into the offseason. You could put it up there. You could argue it was the biggest needs heading into this offseason, Vic. What do you think they were?
Just name like the prior top to the, three. Like prior top to three. The draft?
Prior to the, yeah, the draft and free agency.
I would say would be edge rusher, cornerback, and wide receiver two.
So there you have it. Like, that needed to be addressed. So I was really worried, man. I didn't think, I wasn't excited. I wasn't intrigued with the idea of drafting a corner to fill that spot, because it just, there's so many young guys in the secondary. And if you're going to do that, it needs to be a productive player. Ideally, you get him in the first round. But look, you got the next draft to do that. You know what I mean? I'm not saying this secondary is solidified for the next 5 to 10 years, but it's certainly solidified for the immediate future. And that was, I mean, that's the goal of the offseason.
Yeah, as far as cornerback two goes, you'd be hard-pressed to find a better one. Like you mentioned, the Giants were the most aggressive team last season and running man coverage without safety help over the top. And Bradberry is an outside zone corner who is projected to transition, you know, seamlessly into Jonathan Gannon's two deep zone that he likes to run. So you have a zone corner like Bradberry in there with the revamped front seven. Like you mentioned, you got Reddick and Kaiser White and N'Kobe Dean and Jordan Davis up front now. And now that you have Jordan Davis commanding attention up front, Jonathan Gannon often had to use an extra edge rusher last year to generate some type of pressure. He won't have to do that this year. And now his zone defense will be easier to implement. And I think Jonathan Gannon is going to get a lot more creative in his scheme.
Now that he has better cover backers now too.
Exactly. Now they have a true outside zone corner with Darius Slay. They have better linebackers and they're going to have more pressure up front, you would expect, with Jordan Davis and Hassan Reddick. So I think this is Jonathan Gannon's going to be able to play the defense he wants to this season now that he has the personnel that allows him to thrive schematically. And I think James Bradberry is going to have a lot to do with that. Like you mentioned, a lot of people are bringing up, well, James Bradberry, he allowed 800 plus yards, 8 touchdowns last season. He's cooked this and that. People have to understand that Patrick Graham implemented a lot of man-to-man coverage for whatever reason. Like, I'm 25% of the time.
He's not James a Bradbury. Terrible man corner, though. Like, people act like he just can't. Like, you know what I'm saying? He's better than what we had.
Yeah, no, he's not a bad man corner. It's just that you can't rely on him.
That's just not his calling.
Man-to-man coverage. Like, can't leave him on an island out there.
Right.
Is the thing. And his stats are drastically different when you look at how he performed in zone coverage compared to man coverage. The passer rating is drastically different. The yards allowed is drastically different. And when you look at those things, like when you take a deeper look into the numbers, obviously, that shows that Bradberry was still a pretty good corner last year, despite, I mean, it did taper off last year. Like, there was an obvious decline, but that has more to do with scheme. And he had a lingering Achilles injury that was kind of kept under wraps, that took some kind of speed away from him.
He was their number one corner, no?
Him and, is it Dory Jackson over there? Is that who's the other?
All right, Bradberry was their number one corner then.
Yeah, so it was those two, whoever, you know, he
it's
was brought
in one.
It's a
matchup league, man. So, like, when you're asked, like, you factor in what you just said, the injury and the scheme and stuff like that, and then he's their number one corner, so he's matched up on the other team's best receivers. Like, obviously, he's going to give up numbers. Dallas's number one corner, Trayvon Diggs, let's look at his numbers, how many yards he's given up. Like, even the elite, like, if you want to call him shut down, man-to-man corners are going to be giving up, you know, they're going to be giving up big yardage. Obviously, it's a different story here with Bradberry last season and stuff like that when you compare his man coverage to zone and stuff like that. But, you know, I can't stress enough, he's coming into a situation where we already have Darius Slay on the outside.
Yeah, so, and Bradberry was signed 2 years ago to a three-year, $43 million contract. So that's kind of CB1 numbers. So he was brought in to ensure that he'd be able to lock up that spot. When you look at his 2020 season where he made the Pro Bowl, when you look at man coverage, his passer rating allowed was 92.3 and zone coverage 48.5. You look at last season, passer rating allowed in man coverage 127.2 and zone coverage he allowed a passer rating of 76.5. So, and also, just to put it in a clear picture for you, in man coverage last year, one pass breakup. In zone coverage, he had 11 pass breakups. Mm. So as long as and he did mention that when he got signed here, that, and his presser is coming up in a few minutes, I believe. But he did mention initially when he first signed here that scheme fit was a big reason why he chose to come to Philadelphia, because he did have 11 teams interested in him and he had more teams offering more money. But he chose to come here because he felt like this was the best fit. And I think that Jonathan Gannon will put him in a position to succeed defensively. And I think that's a big part of the reason why the Eagles defense will take a next step in 2022. So now that he is here, us greedy Eagles fans are now, you know, either some are coming, some of them are like coming to the gripes with the fact that it's going to be Marcus Epps and Anthony Harris on the back end. Some people are hammering the table for Jesse Bates because of his contract situation. Some of them are looking at Chuck
bloggers.
Clark. Yeah, it was bloggers. Yeah, and Chuck Clark is another option out there because they brought in Kyle Hamilton, Marcus Williams. So people are looking at Philadelphia native Chuck Clark. So, Stephen, if it was up to you, I believe James Bradberry's cap hit isn't anything crazy this year. I think it's like $2.2 million the way how he structured it. He structured it with dummy years and the
whole
bit.
You say Bradberry.
Bradberry, yeah. His contract is a $2.2 million cap hit next season. So if you look at Jesse Bates's situation, obviously the Bengals hit him with the franchise tag because they don't know what to do with him yet. Jesse Bates says, I'm not playing under the franchise tag. His market value is around 15 million a year. He probably wants more than that after he watched Marcus Williams and Justin Reed and all these other safeties get paid. Would you entertain potentially sending a pick, or whether it's like Andre Dillard, or I've seen the Raven Clark mentioned in trade rumors. Are you willing to give up a second or first for Jesse Bates in addition to a new contract? Or are you intrigued with Marcus Epps and you kind of hope that this revamped cornerback group, in addition to the front seven, will take pressure off the safeties and maybe let Marcus Epps transition a little easier?
Well, if you can get Jesse Bates, you do it. I don't care, man. The first round pick, whatever, you go do it. He's one of the best safeties in the NFL, man. You absolutely go do that. Really quickly, I want to address, though, I know a lot of people, man, Eagles Twitter, man, let me tell you, like, you go into the offseason, every team does this. They have holes, and they want to fill those holes. You're not going to fill every single one in an offseason. Ideally, you fill every single hole, but it's just not going to happen. And if you look at all the holes the Eagles had this offseason, like, obviously it would be awesome if they could go out and address the safety position, if that's what you want to call it, addressing it. I mean, trading for Jesse Bates is more than addressing it. Chuck Clark, you mentioned him, that's an upgrade too. But, like, man, what a job. What a job Howie Roseman did. You know what I'm saying? Like, almost every positional group, I don't want to say was revamped, but they just, like, added so much talent. And, like, going into the offseason, we knew safety was a thing. Apparently the Eagles value, I don't want to say, can we say the Eagles value corner over safety?
Yeah. They don't, when was the last first round safety they drafted? Have they done it ever? I don't think they ever done it.
Well, so that's the thing. There's that argument where it's,
but
like,
you can make sense. Like,
you have Kyle Hamilton and Jordan Davis available. They've always valued defensive line over anything, period. So, obviously, they're going to go Jordan Davis.
I don't
Davis
even know
there.
The last, like, big-name safety they looked at. Like, does Malcolm count? Because they passed on Jarius Byrd and took the lesser option at the time in Malcolm Jenkins and Rodney McLeod. Like, since Dawkins, I don't know who the last big name.
Well, that's
like, it has
why
to be Malcolm.
Jesse Bates thing kind of makes sense to me if there's any, like, smoke to that. Because that seems...
I think that's why they don't do it.
Really?
I don't think they do it personally, no. I think they're
solidified. He would solidify the defense, though.
It would, but, like, what? How much more is, like, how are we going to spend? Like, I think if there was the option to bring Bradberry in or go get one of those safeties, I think that's why he elected to get Bradberry. Because all in all, like, he has the corners now and the front seven to take pressure off of those safeties. So now Marcus, I'm more concerned about Anthony Harris than Marcus Epps, to be honest.
Oh, yeah, obviously.
Like, I think Epps showed enough last year to warrant a starting role, even though he's played less than 1,000 career snaps. But I am intrigued to see kind of what he does. Anthony Harris, we know what he is at this point. That's why he's bought back on that 1 year, you know, cheap deal. But you kind of need depth. Like, Kayvon is like the reserve option if something happens, and then you're looking at names that you don't really know, like Jared Maiden and some other guys.
You also kind of have to consider the future of this team too, because I wouldn't say like they're necessarily solidified even at the corner spot for the
No, but that's
term.
Why, like I mentioned earlier, so like I think the Bradberry signing is also well for two reasons.
It feels like a win now move, in my opinion.
Yeah, there's two reasons, because I think the Eagles, I'm not sure how the whole formula works, but the Eagles get a compensatory pick if Bradberry signs a free agent deal next year and leaves the team. So I believe they get a compensatory pick from the Giants. And this signing allows the Eagles to further develop, like I mentioned earlier, Tae Goin or Zach McPherson or Mario Goodrich, who they gave that guaranteed deal to as an undrafted free agent, or any one of the other 14 corners. They brought in Jimmy Moreland yesterday from Houston or Washington off the waiver wire.
Those undrafted guys, right?
So, well, Moreland was a former seventh round pick that played against Washington, or played with Washington and played with Houston, and has one career interception. Can you guess who the interception is off of?
I'm just going to Carson.
Yeah, of course. So of course 2020, he had his one career interception, of course, against Carson. I think it was opening week two.
Oh, geez.
So they have 14 corners on the roster right now after the addition of Bradberry. So we'll have to see. We'll have to see what the plan is. They have plenty. They have enough bodies there to develop. Tae Goin, Zach McPherson, Kerry Vincent. They have enough guys. They have enough guys. But as far as like cornerback trios go, how would you rank this trio? I think this is. I think for me, there's like two trios that are probably better than the Eagles, and that's Green Bay with Jaire Alexander, Rasul Douglas, and Eric Stokes. And then I look at the Chargers, who have J.C. Jackson, Asante Samuel Jr., and they signed Bryce Callahan, who was a top slot corner in the league before getting hurt. Obviously, didn't play much or in recent memory with the Broncos.
There's another secondary we were talking about the other night.
We were on FaceTime the other night talking about it. You were talking about Cleveland, I believe, Denzel Ward. Who's the other guy over there? Denzel Ward. They have another guy. And then we were talking about Greedy Williams, obviously. Obviously, look at Baltimore secondary. They have Marcus Williams, Marlon Humphrey. I'm not sure who their slot guy is over there.
What about the Rams?
Ramsey. I know Troy Hill is back. I don't know who their CB2 is off the top.
We're talking trio. That's what I'm talking trio.
Yes, trio. As far as
not
trio.
Your two Denver. Starting outside guys. But even like Slay and Bradbury is pretty formidable.
Yeah, Denver is Denzel Ward and Greg Newsom. So that's a pretty good duo.
You mean Cleveland?
Cleveland. Who'd I say?
You said Denver. Cleveland.
Cleveland is Denzel Ward and Greg Newsom. So how would you rank this trio? Obviously, Darius Slay, James Bradbury led the league in pass breakups since 2016. Darius Slay has 84. I think Bradbury is 82.
Maddox is a good slot corner.
And Maddox is arguably a top five slot corner.
I don't understand where
Who's slandering him?
All right, first of all, this exact topic I made a TikTok about, I'm pretty sure you did too.
I asked
the public, where do they rank? I asked, do the Eagles have the best? I didn't say they have the best starting cornerback trio. And a lot of people
I said they have
wrong.
One of. I think they're top three.
Right. Top three or five. I agree. Somewhere in there. And then
there's
you get
no,
the
there's
people,
no top five, top three.
There's people commenting. They're like, you know, we got to see it first on paper. Like,
yeah, well, yeah,
you can say that about every secondary. The season hasn't started yet. We don't know.
Yeah. You know what's funny about
that? What do
you
mean we got to see it first? I know shit we got to see it first.
You know what's funny about the people that say we got to see it, we see it first? Because I put out a TikTok last week about how the Eagles are currently in the middle of one of the most impressive organizational turnarounds in recent memory.
Yeah, it doesn't count because they haven't seen it yet.
But I said like 15 months ago they fired Doug, they got rid of Carson, they ate the largest cap hit in league history at the time,
which
and
we
now,
got clowned for having that on
exactly
our,
we
our
got
books.
Shit on for forever for that. Well, I mean, we got shit on for the year, obviously, for how we handled that and how we shipped out the Super Bowl winning head coach and your franchise quarterback, and you're eating this cap hit, and now 15 months later you have Jalen Hurts, who the jury is still out on, but you hope is on the rise. You have AJ, you secured AJ Brown now, so you now have AJ Brown and Devonta Smith. You have Dallas Goedert, who's top eight tight end, you can argue, and then
best
you have
offensive
this,
line of football,
best still. Offensive line of football, and you have an eight deep rotation. And if you look at the or defensive line rotation, it's you think the starters would be Reddick, I'll probably say Sweat, Cox, Hargrave, and then the second unit, Brandon Graham, Derek Barnett, Jordan Davis, Milton Williams. Like that unit, that second unit can start for some teams in this league.
Yep.
So you have a deep defensive line rotation, a revamped linebacker core, arguably two cornerback ones on the roster, and your safeties are suspect. The only two positions that we generally as Eagles fans have to worry is safety and quarterback, obviously, because it's always going to be on the back of your mind is what's Jalen going to do. So those are the two positions that are in question right now. Coming from the dumpster fire that the Eagles were in the 2020 season,
we'll see.
I think that's an impressive organizational turnaround. And everybody's in the comments like, you can't say that because they haven't done anything yet. Just looking at, and I get it. You know,
well,
dream
we're in
team
the middle of the offseason. We have to assess things right now.
On paper, I'm assessing what Howie has done now.
And it's not just us.
And it isn't
way,
us.
A
it's
lot
the national
of people
media
are picking
too.
The Eagles to not only win the NFC East, but I saw some national people saying we'll be the fourth overall team
national.
Coming out of the NFC.
National.
The whole
national
conference.
People. Peter King just had his rankings out, and we're ninth. Ninth.
Obviously, we have to see. We have to see how, I mean, let's see. We have Tom Brady's coming back. There's no guarantee he's still going to
so
be
what's
good.
The NFC?
We'll see.
It's
we'll
Green
see.
Bay. With no receivers now, they have Christian Watson, but they let Devontae
go. Yeah,
we'll
see how good they are.
They lost Valdes-Scantling too, I believe, so they have no receivers over there. Obviously, Brady's back, so that's probably the one guy you got to worry about.
We'll see.
I think the Eagles have the best roster in the division. I personally think.
And then
you look at Dallas. You look at Dallas.
Right?
Who'd they lose? They lost Lyle Collins because he went to where'd he go? Cincinnati to protect Joe Burrow. So he has Lyle Collins.
Mark Cooper.
Lost Amari Cooper. Randy Gregory gave him the old bait and switch, signed with them first and changed his mind and went to Denver. So like they did, and their draft was terrible. I mean, not terrible, but they didn't do anything crazy in the draft.
And their contracts are terrible, man. If any one of those top guys gets hurt, I mean, you can say this for any team, but, like, you know, Dak, Ezekiel.
Ezekiel Elliott's on the downcline. Luckily, they're in a position where they can, like, kind of move on from Zeke after this year, the way the contract. I think this is the last season where the cap hit is, like, ridiculous, and then they can kind of, like, kind of move on from him next year. But when you look, the reason why they moved on from Amari Cooper was because he was making $20 million a year, and they felt like the production didn't warrant $20 million a year. And then you're watching Christian Kirk make $18 million, and now they got to be thinking, like, well, maybe $20 million wasn't terrible. Maybe it wasn't that bad. And now we got A.J. Brown making $25 million a year, even though this year's cap hit isn't bad for A.J. I forget what the number is, but it's definitely, for the next 2 years, it's pretty generous. So that's on that. So my question to you now is that we're kind of getting into the speculative portion of the offseason, obviously, here. But what are your kind of expectations looking on paper? The schedule releases out now. What is the expectation for the Eagles? I'm seeing a lot of Super Bowl or bust. The national perception is now. Man. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I'm saying that's what I'm seeing.
Is it the people that had us Twitter, win four games last year? The people that are saying it's Super Bowl or bust?
It's Twitter. You know how Twitter goes. But I feel like I hate having too much national attention. Because now it's either bowl or we're going 4-13 in my mind. So my expectation, my expectation for the team is to win the division.
Yes.
And win a playoff game.
Oh.
You don't think we should win a playoff game next year?
Well, oh, no. We didn't win the division last year. So I'm not.
If you win the division,
okay, yes,
if you win,
I
want to
win the Super Bowl. I
want to
win the Super Bowl, Vic. I'm getting
soft. If you win the division, you're expected to win a playoff game.
I guess. What if you're matched up against a better team?
Though, if you win the division, you're expected to win a playoff game. That's you're one. If you win the division, you're a top four seed at that point.
Host a playoff game.
Host a playoff game. Yes,
because we were on the road last year.
Yeah. Well, division winners host playoff games, don't they? Well, I guess top three seeds in this case, because now we have the whole seventh seed.
Yeah, it's
shit.
All weird now.
So now the top three seeds host the playoff games now. So I assume the Eagles are going to win a division and win a playoff game.
All right, fine. Win a freaking playoff game.
You don't think? No. Explain to me your process. Don't just succumb to what I'm saying.
Like, I'm not even there yet. I'm just saying, like, the expectation now is NFC East winners after we didn't do that last year. So that's a jump. That's a jump.
We still need to win a playoff game.
Yes,
if we win the division and lose in the wild card round, that's not a success.
Like 8.5.
I don't know what Vegas has now. It's got to be. I think it jumped
like
up to
8.5 last time I saw. Oh, it's up to 9.
I think
now.
It's up to 9 now after there the Bradbury signing. It's 9.5 with the Bradbury signing now.
You want to know this team doesn't win any less than
what? What are you saying?
This team's not going to win any less than. I'm staring down 10. They have to win double digits.
Hey, when I did my schedule, it's hard for me to not pick 12-5 as their
I
want to
go
record.
10 or 11.
And it was hard for me to find 5 losses. It really was tough for me to find 5 losses because I had like 14 wins, but I had to kind of come down to earth a little bit. Dude, the schedule is easy. We'll go through
the
schedule.
I'm at 10 or 11. I'll figure it out.
You are. So now we're going to
run with 10 or 11.
I mean, that's fine. But you're saying as if, like, I guess they'll win 10. And now you're saying we're not going to win a playoff game. So I don't understand what is.
There's a huge difference between winning 10 or 11 regular season games versus winning a playoff game.
I'm still stuck on you saying we're not going to win a playoff game as division winners.
Every single year.
How are we not going to win a wild card game as division winners? How is this?
I don't know, man.
Who are we going to be matched up on? Who are we going to be
matched
up on?
Matched up with. I don't know.
Who in the NFC?
What seed were we last year? We were the
seventh
seed.
The
so
seed
like,
they created this year.
So climbing up to a top four seed's a jump for me. That's good.
All right. And we didn't beat a single team with a winning record.
I'm realistic, man. I'm not going to be one of these.
Since when are you realistic? You've never been realistic. I'm the realistic one. No, I'm the realistic one.
What are you
talking
about? Wait, what do you think I'm trying to do?
I don't know. I'm confused on why we're not winning a playoff game all of a sudden.
I don't know. It depends who we face. I think we can.
This is bitch shit. That's what I'm here. That's
oh my ridiculous. God.
Win a playoff game. And I thought I was kind of being soft by only saying win one playoff game. I just want to win a division.
Are you asking me if
game.
They will or should that be the
I'm
standard?
I'm saying what is the expectation?
Game?
What is your expectation?
Okay, yes. Win a playoff game is the expectation.
No, did
that's
you just make
standard.
That decision or has it always been?
That's my
just
expectation.
Make so your expectation
my expectations
after you look,
they
no,
win
give
the
me,
fucking
no,
Super
give me,
Bowl.
Give me your honest expectation after you look after the Bradbury signing, you look at this roster and you said, okay, the Eagles should do this year. What is it?
A top four seed and win the NFC East. That's my expectation.
So you just want to win the division and anything after that is just house money.
I want to win the fucking Super Bowl, Vic. Okay.
I know what you want to do, but I'm saying what okay. All right.
I don't understand. Are you saying like what comes with being a division winner and a top four seed is winning
I'm
in
saying
the wild
if you,
card
but
round?
You're saying,
then
like,
yes,
you're, because,
yes.
Because when I said win a playoff game, you're like, oh, win a playoff game. I'll know about that. Like, no. If you win the division, you're expected to win a playoff game.
How many times have the Dallas Cowboys won this division?
We're not the Cowboys. The Cowboys are expected,
okay, yes,
the Cowboys
exactly.
are expected to fold in the first round regardless of seeding.
Exactly.
It doesn't matter.
So
we
keep
are not
your
them.
Stupid mouth
we
shut
are not
over
them.
There, Cowboys
we are not
fans.
Them. We are not
you
them.
Had an awful offseason, and you choked in the first round again. You were not us.
And they ran a QB draw with like 14 seconds left.
And they blamed it on the refs. They blamed it on the refs.
And Pat Mahomes literally scored in 13 seconds. Like,
yep, take notes. That's how you win football.
Now, I will say that the Cowboys have the best quarterback in the division. And we were looking at the Washington roster the other day. All right,
wait. No. Do not sleep on the Commanders.
There we go. I'm sleeping heavily on the Commanders, but they have a little, like, when we were looking at the roster the
all
other
right,
night.
We win the division, but who's next? Is Dallas the betting favorites to come second? Because I'm telling
Dallas
you, the Commanders
win,
are
Dallas
on that
Dallas are favorites
ass,
to win the division right now. They're favorites to win
yeah,
the division.
Yeah, okay. How?
Because they have the best quarterback in the division. That goes a long way.
Oh, my God, dude. That's such a lazy fucking narrative.
It just goes a long way. It's not lazy. It's what it is. Like, it's when you have the best quarterback, you're going to win games. That's just how it goes. So now when you look at the Commander roster, right? Carson, obviously, the question mark. Their running backs, Antonio Gibson, J.D. McKissick.
I don't understand why their defense was so, like, underwhelming last year. What happened?
Terry McLaurin, Curtis Samuel, Jahan Dotson as receivers. So they got a nice little trio of receivers. Somebody tried to tell me that this was the most talented roster Carson Wentz has ever played with. Do you buy into that?
We won the Super
That's
Bowl.
That's what I'm saying. I'm just saying. Somebody was like, this is the best roster Carson's
good
ever
argument.
Had.
The roster we had the year after we won the Super Bowl was really good, too. Low-key, that team should have probably won all the way.
Was that the
year Alshon dropped it against the Saints? That roster was good, dude.
What changed? What changed from the Super Bowl roster? Did we add anybody since the Super Bowl?
Well, like, I mean,
it's just the same roster.
Michael Bennett, Golden Tate.
Okay. I don't want to be reminded of Golden Tate. So,
right.
So,
clutch touchdown.
So, Washington receivers: Curtis Samuel, Jahan Dotson, Terry McLaurin. McLaurin isn't showing up to OTAs because he's in this little contract feud. That all these receivers are going through, Debo, DK, they're all going to go through it.
Yeah.
So we'll figure out what to do with him. The defense, they got Chase Young, Montez Sweat, Jonathan Allen. They got a nice little D-line there. And cornerbacks, Kendall Fuller, William Jackson, the third. So their team isn't bad. They could. I think they could. I think the division is a lot better this year than years past. Because the Giants, they have a nice little staff. They got Dable. Obviously, Daniel Jones is whatever.
First year with the guys, but
yeah, but I like Dayball.
They're on
the
upward trajectory, which I don't know if it's saying a lot.
I like Dayball, and they hired Kafka as OC, I believe, right? Mike Kafka, I think he's over there as OC.
Hopefully, they can get a touchdown out of Kenny Galladay
or Kadarius Toney because they both had zero. But maybe Saquon's healthier. We'll have to figure it out. They lost Bradbury, so they have no corners. They did sign Michael Chiquette though to try and stick it back at us. To try and replace him, so that is what it's worth.
Wait, is he good? I don't get it. He's not.
No,
good.
It's a joke. It's a joke.
God. Okay. God.
No, you remember when he allowed 7 catches for 182 yards in one single game? All right, just make sure. Amari Cooper ate him for dinner that night. So
I was gonna. I don't know. The tone you said that in made it sound.
Oh, the sarcasm didn't translate. No.
Didn't see. This is why I hate these stupid digital pods. I should be sitting right next to you right now. I can't tell.
Not too close. Now you can sit across
freaking
from the
computer screen.
You can sit across the table. Yeah.
Facts.
It's gonna be a good time.
I like this because when we were in the middle of that, I wanted to ask you this. So, because we're 30 minutes in, how have we not talked about this yet?
Shit, I didn't realize.
Like, we got to talk about the quarterback over here. When you brought up Dak Prescott being the best QB in the NFC East.
Mm-hmm.
So. What does Jalen Hurts have to do to secure the job this coming season? Because I see some people base it off of the team success, meaning winning a playoff game. But what if they lose in the first round again this year?
Well, it depends. Like, how do they lose? Is it because of Jalen or is it because, like, injuries? Like, what happened?
You have to weigh in how they perform how he performs in the regular season, too. Because there are some people who just take away all the good stuff he did this past year just because he had that bad playoff game.
All right, so how about this? What if he does 4,000 yards?
Wow.
I'll say 3,800 yards.
No, it better be 4,000. He has two 1K
receivers. Well, we've only had one
in
franchise history, so that's kind of lofty expectations, and it was Carson. So I'll say 3,800 yards.
There's an extra game on the schedule. Hopefully he's healthy.
True. 25 touchdowns and 12 interceptions. How do you feel about that?
12. That's a good realistic stat line. I would actually go around 20
and one playoff win and one playoff win, and then they get like decimated in the divisional round. How do you feel about
well,
that?
Well, what if they just okay? I guess
my expectations is this. This is what I think Jalen Hurts needs to do. I think he needs to progress as a passer. I think he needs to work on throwing with anticipation. I think he needs to work on leading his receivers. These are all things I think he's capable of.
Well, yeah, obviously.
I think that A.J. Brown helps a lot with this. He's a strong guy that's really, really great at 50-50 balls, obviously. Go and get it. Catch radius is elite. I think his route running nuance is elite. I think he's going to open up a lot of things for Devontae Smith as he tears up these cornerback twos. And Dallas Goedert up the seam will be virtually unguardable because I don't know who's going to be left to take these guys away. So I think things are going to be a lot easier for Jalen this year. And by virtue, he should improve a lot this year. Now, of course, you're going to have everybody, myself included, dissecting film and looking at his like throwing motions and all that kind of stuff to see like how if he's truly been progressing as a passer. I think later on in the season, he progressed really well. I think now the ankle injury probably has something to do with it. But I think he got better at not panicking in the pocket. I think he got better at keeping his eyes downfield, setting his feet, finding his guys. I think he got better at that as the year went on. And I think that's going to be something that will improve in 2022. So as long as I see those kind of things, I think he'll stick around. But we know how the Eagles are. So, and they have those two first-round draft picks.
I probably should have asked, what does he have to do for the Eagles to commit to him? I probably should have asked that because fans, yeah. it's going to be scattered.
I'll say probably one of
the fans that...
They're probably gonna have to win a playoff game, to be honest.
What?
I think. What is up with you in like not winning a playoff game?
Why are you so shocked by this? Determining factor of if you commit to Jalen or not?
Because how far did we get last year?
He needs. What if he throws for like?
That's what I'm saying. It depends on the fashion that they get to the playoffs. But we know that Sirianni doesn't want to be the same offense as last year. He wants to be more of a thrower.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So, like, if he progresses so much as a passer, like, it's the playoffs, man.
All right, so if he progresses well and they have a – depends on matchups, obviously, and it's a nice competitive game in the wild card and they just come up short, then they'll be fine.
All right.
And the defense steps up, you know. But I think Jonathan Gannon has as much to prove this year as –
because we got our asses whooped in the wild card.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's
Tom
fucking Brady. This is what everybody loves saying, too. Like, oh, we got decimated in the – okay. So Kyler Murray got his doors blown off in the wild card game, too. I don't see anybody – well, obviously, Kyler has this –
well, I'm just saying it's a big jump from getting your teeth kicked in the wild card round to all
okay,
of
so you just want to be competitive in the wild card game. That's why you've had this reaction all show.
I want to get all the way, man. But I'm trying to speak from the Eagles' mindset, like as far as committing to Jalen Hurts.
I think they believe they have a good enough roster to make noise in the playoffs.
Because Nick Foles came here and won a lot of playoff games, but they committed to Carson Wentz, who never won any.
And speaking of Nick Foles, the Eagles tried.
Oh, here we go. I should have never mentioned his name.
See, I was going to get to that anyway, but the Eagles did try to snag Nick Foles before he signed this 2-year deal.
Do you see what I'm saying, though, by the way, about that? Nick Foles won a lot of playoff games here, and they still handed Carson that contract.
Yeah, but Nick Foles was never a regular season guy. That doesn't translate. That doesn't make sense. Nick Foles can never put together a 16-game season. He's just notorious for having...
The goal is to win the Super Bowl, right?
Yes, that's fine. So I don't understand what you're saying, though.
What I'm saying is it goes back to the argument of Jalen needs to win a playoff game to win the job.
Oh, so you're saying because Nick Foles won a whole bunch of playoff games and he didn't...
Yeah, that doesn't mean anything to me.
Yeah, but but Nick Foles doesn't count. He was in relief of...
Yes, he does.
He was in relief of the franchise.
He has a statue.
Yes, but he did it in relief of the franchise quarterback, though. Jalen, I will say, if Nick Foles won it the next
Jalen
year...
Jalen was drafted to be the backup QB, so...
Things change. If Nick Foles won the Super Bowl the next year, yeah, they had no choice but to keep him at that point. Like, if he went back-to-back, that's a whole different thing. And they tried to bring him back. They were in talks with him. I think they both kind of realized that it wasn't a good idea because they got trade offers
for
Gardner
Minshew.
Oh,
if they win that Saints game, I would have committed to him. I'll tell you that right now.
Oh, just the
I'll
Saints game?
I'll tell you
game.
That right now. Yes, I'll tell you that right now.
Shit. Oh, yeah, but then he went to Jacksonville, and that obviously that shit show.
Imagine the haul they could have got for Carson at that time.
Oh, yo, you're right, dude. The haul they could have, yeah, good point. They could have got
that moment.
Treasure chest of assets at that point. Yeah, that's a good point. I think the Eagles and the Foles this time around decided that it's not a good idea because they got trade offers for Gardner Minshew, and obviously they brought in Carson Strong through undrafted free agency following the draft. So... I think they both kind of like talked about it.
I'm such a hypocrite, dude. I can't believe I just said that. Said if he would have won that playoff game against
the thing. Isn't that the thing you shit on your dad for, too, isn't it? Because your dad would always be like, Foles, we should have kept Foles. And you're always calling him an idiot. So now you're sitting here doing the same shit.
I mean,
are you glad? Are you glad the Eagles passed on bringing in Nick Foles this time? You don't want that noise in Jalen's ear.
I just don't care. And then, like, the people that are like trying to act like it would mess with Jalen's head, like, you can't. I mean, Jalen don't give two shits, man. Come on,
Jalen don't give a damn. Who's in the QB room? He don't care. He don't care who's in the QB.
Guys, Foles was like the third string QB on Chicago. I think Jalen's chilling.
Yeah. Well, now he's the backup to Matt Ryan.
Gardner.
As soon as Wentz left town, they brought in Foles. So
if anything, it would have been a mentorship role, which I'm assuming was the mindset.
Yeah, well, I was like, unless it's like sentimental purposes in a mentorship role. But they had Strong and Minshew, and Minshew's a really good backup, obviously.
That'd have been one hell of a QB2 battle on camp, I suppose, between Foles. Well,
they're going to have one now with Minshew and Carson Strong.
Oh, here we go.
I can't wait for training camp when Carson Strong fucking bombs that 80-yard pass and all of the Hurts haters on Twitter, I don't see Jalen doing this. Oh. His arm,
that alone
his
will
arm.
Make him a better QB than... Yeah, get out of here, man. Yeah, I'm so sick of it.
Would you be shocked if next year they brought in like Carson Strong for some packages, like just a bomb? Like, what if... You know what will do it to... You know what will do it for Twitter? If it's a Hail Mary situation...
Wait, does he have that strong of an arm?
Yeah, he has a cannon.
I mean, he better if that's his last
name. He's just coming off injuries, and he's like... He has like mental like things going on, apparently. But what if it's the end of the game, right? It's a Hail Mary situation, and they bring in Carson Strong. Twitter will have a field day with that shit. That would be fucking hilarious. One more question before we get out of here. Are you more excited for... I ran this poll on Twitter last week, and it got like 6,000-7,000 views, and it was literally split down the middle. Are you more excited for the... Not that we should really have to choose. This is like WWE, AEW conversations. But right. are you more excited for the Eagles offense or the defense next year?
Offense. Offense in general.
Because you're a skill
exciting.
Position guy. That's why. You just fucking...
Well, like, offense in general is more exciting, naturally.
You're not excited for this defense? No. N'Kobe Dean, Kaiser White, Reddick, Bradbury Slay, no? You just like explosive plays. You just want to see fucking...
Well, like... We went from being the number one rush offense, like just boring, methodical offense last year, to now the standard is we're going to sling that thing and put up points. So, like, of course, dude.
All right. That's fair.
You know what I'm saying?
It was 50-50 on. But I think some people, I think why defense got so many votes, it's because people are still kind of bullish on Jalen Hurts.
The other intriguing thing is Jalen Hurts. Jesus, man. Jalen Hurts is second year in this offense, you know?
I don't understand how it's fucking. Somebody told me yesterday when I was in the studio for radio. Somebody told me yesterday that it's put up or shut up time for Jalen Hurts, and I almost was like, "What in the?
What's wrong with that? It's true.
second year as a starter. It's put up or shut up already."
I hate the people that are like,
"How
enough
are we at this point?"
are you addressing the people that have an issue with his like quotes and interviews and stuff like that? Because those people drive me nuts.
No, I don't think it's that. I think it's just that this is like, and I get it's like a...
I don't even know what put up or shut up means.
It's like they're basically saying like this is his last chance.
It's such an old-timer saying.
It's, hey, I used to say it. What do you mean? It's like it's like his one-year audition. Is this it for Jalen?
Last year was too.
Yeah, so is every year
going to
be an audition?
We had this conversation last year,
So what if he makes marginal improvements this year? Is his third year as a starter going to be put up or shut up? Like how many one-year auditions does he get? Or is this just going to be the year they said we got two first rounders, Bryce Young it is, because they don't know what the future is going to hold and they don't know how many picks they're going to get in the future?
I don't know. Like, that's a stupid argument. What's the difference between put up or shut up or a prove it year? Like, what's the difference?
They're synonyms, dude. That's what I'm saying. But is the notion that this is a prove it year?
Why does he have to shut up? He has to literally talk to the team. He has to talk with the media. What do you mean put up or shut up?
I'm out of here.
No, I can't stand that. And all the people that hated Sirianni for all his quotes and Hurts, like, where are you guys now?
Rock, paper, scissors. And
it was cringe at the time, but
People can say what they want, but that Flower fucking speech turned the season around. We were 2-5 at the time, and then he said some shit about Flowers, and then we led his team to. You know, it's another thing when I told people on that TikTok that he, after starting the year 2-5, he led his team to the playoffs, and they were like, "Oh, well, they didn't beat a winning team," which I understand, and I understand we beat Jake Fromm and Garrett Gilbert and whoever the fuck else we played at the time. But it still takes a lot when you are dead in the water at 2-5 to turn a season around and make the postseason in any facet in the NFL.
The standard changed. People had us winning 4 wins. Now all of a sudden it's like you're not beating good teams.
He was getting Coach of the Year consideration.
Yeah. Get out of here, guys.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I don't understand. I don't
understand. Stay on that side.
It's literally, yeah, it's bad. It's bad. Good things are coming for the Eagles. Like I said, two positions of question, safety and quarterback. And they'll figure out, they'll have an answer on the quarterback position probably 6 games in. So we'll know.
Wow.
We'll know. But probably by week 6, people are going to be like, Minshew can get the ball to A.J. Brown. Oh. And then we're going to have to deal with all that shit.
Well, if Jalen's like not passing well, like,
I mean, he can't have another game.
These are
going to
be conversations we have, man.
Like, can you imagine if we see that Giants stat line? Like, he was 14 of 31 and 3 interceptions in that Giants game. That shit was disgusting. That was ugly. He did throw the game-winning pass to
Rager. He's going to have a stinker or two, but like,
he did throw the game-winning pass to Rager, though, arguably. That pass would have won the game. But
hey, he wasn't. Hey, no, he's supposed to throw to Devontae Smith in that.
What's up with you? What's up with you and Rager? You still capping for the dude to make the roster? He's not here next year. I hope you know.
That is next year.
He's not here in 2022. He won't be here. I promise you, he will not be here week 1.
You know, I tweeted something the other day making fun of him for the very first time in my life because he was in that squad pick and he looks out of place, obviously. And people are like, now's not the time to make fun of Rager. Dude, I was like the only guy defending him through all of this. Don't tell me what I can and can't say about the guy.
Where is he at on the depth chart? Where is he at on the depth chart?
It's like wide receiver 5, man. It's over.
You just gave me the argument the other day that it's A.J. Brown. It's A.J. Brown, Devontae Smith, and it's Zach Pascal and Jalen Rager fighting for WR3. And I was like, what the fuck?
Wait, what?
Oh, no. I mean, A.J. Quez. Brown, Devontae Smith, Quez at 3, and then Pascal and Rager are fighting for 4. I was like, that's not a fight. Pascal's firmly in that. I think Pascal and Quez interchange for the 3 spot.
Wait, so are you telling me like he's walking on eggshells right now? Like, are they trading Rager? Him or what? What are you trying to tell me?
So they tried to trade him during the draft, and because they were in talks with Baltimore for Rager for Chuck Clark. They were like entertaining that swap. The Ravens asked for more draft compensation, and then the Eagles were out at that point. So that's why Rager is still here. And then after that, they gave him permission to seek a trade, and then obviously like there are no budding partners on that. So then Howie then goes into a press conference and says, like, we like Rager. He's going to be here. He's a Philadelphia Eagle, which is what you always say before somebody gets traded. So I think I would be baffled if he is here week 1. I would truly be baffled if he's here week 1. Because what's the role for him? It's not like he's a return specialist. Mm. Like, that's probably going to Huntley or Devin Allen or Britton Covey, whoever's going to be here, Kenneth Gainwell, any one of those 4 guys have a better chance at returning kicks than Rager or punts. Because we all know he can't return punts. He's fielding fair catches inside like the 7-yard line.
I know, man.
There's no role for him. There's nothing out.
I don't know, dude. It just sucks.
You can't. Maybe what are you gonna do? Give him a bubble screen here and there that is probably better suited for Quez anyway.
I don't know what happened. I just don't understand what happened.
No,
it's like the Markel Fultz thing. He's literally
Fultz was so much worse than this. Because how we rebounded from this mistake at least, and I guess so did the Eagles, so did the Sixers in a way, with Maxey, but Maxey. Still, yeah, Rager. I mean, it's been real. I guess not really.
So you don't think there's like I see a lot of pictures of him smiling at camp and stuff.
Yeah, you have to be. What, you gonna be upset? You're not gonna be upset all through training camp. You gotta smile. Shit.
I mean, he's like 8th on the depth chart. What's there to be happy?
Yeah,
about?
And so is fucking J-Jaw on the tight end depth chart. You don't see him whining.
Because he's just a loser too.
It's fucking Dallas Goedert, Jack Stahl. I'm pretty sure Tyree Jackson and Grant Calcaterra will be in the mix, and then you got J-Jaw. He'll be in run blocking packages. Best believe he'll be in there. He put on 15 pounds, dude.
We better be throwing the football next year.
I know.
Get Kenny G is underlooked still.
AJ Brown's not going to be very happy when they're running QB bootlegs 6 times a game. It's not going to be good.
It's put up or shut up time for Miles Sanders.
Oh god, yeah, Miles Sanders contract here. If it's put up or shut up time for anybody, it's fucking Miles Sanders.
God.
Oh shit! Jonathan
Same with
Gannon
Andre
too.
Dillard, dude. You guys act
no,
like this
Andre
guy,
Dillard,
so.
Dude. Why you bring this up every show? Andre Dillard is a good backup. He's literally good. He allowed 1 sack last year.
I love how much
and over Rager, 500.
I love
snaps.
How much Rager gets slandered, but this dude doesn't get slandered. Like, we
what
didn't
is he getting slandered for?
Pick.
Andre Dillard is
he
productive
was supposed
on the
to be
field.
The generational left tackle.
Yeah, but Dillard gets off the hook because Mailata turned out the way he did. That's why.
Oh come on. Oh, and Rager doesn't because we got Devontae.
Because we drafted
and
Rager.
Brown?
Where do we? I mean, I guess. But Dillard is. But Dillard is still serviceable on the field. He played over 500 snaps last year and allowed 1 sack.
I mean, Rager was serviceable.
So if Mailata gets hurt
for
3 games,
pass for a touchdown.
If Mailata gets hurt for 3-4 games, you're still confident that Andre Diller can come in and play at a high level?
I'm not. Okay. What has he done to prove that?
He allowed only one sack last year, over 500 snaps. That's what's good.
Wow.
He's literally, and he's okay, I'm not doing this with you. Andre Diller's way, way, much better career at this point than Jalen Reagor as a backup. And he was getting tossed. And when I say tossed, like grown man thrown across the field in training camp last year. But he carved out a nice little role for him, and he's worth a lot in trade value. If there's ever going to be a move for anything, like if Jesse Bates is in the cards for the Bengals, best believe Andre Diller is probably in that trade.
Hey, man.
He's probably our most valuable trade piece right now, Andre
Diller. We'll see on that. We'll see. God.
Anything else you have to get off your chest before we get
I'm just so excited for this team because the Sixers just – every year, man, it's just a disaster. Yeah. They take years off my life. We're star hunting for the sixth fucking season. I'm not gonna say I'm a Howie supporter per se, but just thank you for this offseason, man. Thank you so much.
How are we star hunting for the sixth fucking season in a row? I'm sick.
How about
of
you
this.
Just build a competent
I'm
team?
Depth,
like
you know what? I'm depth hunting. That's what I'm looking for. I'm bench hunting. I'm looking for bench pieces this offseason is what I'm doing.
Yeah, you look at all the teams that are left. Look at the depth they have. The Warriors play like 10 guys.
This has been the worst conference finals of my lifetime.
Yeah, they suck.
Fucking blood after blood. Nothing about
Warriors are winning the
this
whole
is what
thing.
Happens.
That's
this is
take.
What happens when the GOAT is not in the postseason.
Oh, my god! Enough.
The playoffs
would suck.
This is what happens when the GOAT is not in the postseason.
Did you that Suns-Lakers series last year was awful. What do you mean this is what happens?
Well, LeBron was second in scoring this year behind Embiid, so I don't want to hear anything about how it's LeBron's fault that they're not in the postseason.
Yeah, it's easy to score on a garbage team. Anybody can do that.
Appreciate you guys for tuning into this episode. Be sure to subscribe on Apple, iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, iHeartRadio, Odyssey, anywhere else you get your shows. Leave reviews, rate 5 stars, all that fun stuff. Steven, anything you want to tell the people you got cooking up? I don't know what you're up to these days besides being on my hip. So,
see you guys on YouTube. Subscribe to the Liberty on YouTube channel.
IRL
starting. Tons
we
of
got
IRL
studio,
content coming.
Studio space upcoming. Yeah, Philly Pod making it.
It's all Philly sports content. Obviously, we're known for our Eagle stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Philly
I guess
Pod.
The lifestyle shit's coming up too, huh?
Oh, wow.
It's a tease. It's
are
a
we pitching that?
No, we're not. We're not.
We'll wait. Too much stuff being thrown our way.
We'll let them wonder. Yeah.
Just support us, man. Just support us in the Liberty Line, obviously, on all social platforms. You can find us everywhere. You can find me and Vic everywhere. TikTok, Instagram.
Make sure I gave you one chance to pitch the website, but it's cool. LibertyLine.com, where Steven occasionally writes twice a month. He writes once a month, so he's done for the summer. He wrote 2 articles, and one of them got trashed.
The Ben Simmons of blog writing, guys.
One of them got trashed.
My blog writing's like Ben Simmons 3-pointers. I'll hit it and everybody starts celebrating, and then I just don't do it for a couple months.
And then he shows up wearing sunglasses.
I mean, I'm still an all-star.
On the bench, still an all-star. Oh, my God. Follow me on Twitter at the Philly Pod, TikTok, Instagram, the very same where you can find all the visual content. I did something on I'm doing this thread now of like how Jalen Hurts can actually make big-time throws. I did one yesterday in the Giants game. I think I'm going to do the Broncos game tomorrow with the Quez throw, so with the one that he dropped in the end zone. So I'll follow me on Twitter and TikTok for all that stuff, and next episode coming probably in the studio. I think the next one we'll do will actually be in person, so on par for that. Keep it locked here at the Philly Pod, guys. Until the next one, y'all, peace out.
Stand with Sasha Banks.
Yeah, I stand with Sasha.
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Save big money on your outdoor project now at Menards. We have everything you need to keep your outdoor power equipment running smooth, so you can keep that lawn in tip-top shape or enjoy some time on your boat. Right now, all FVP, lawn and garden, and marine batteries are on sale through May 5th. Check out our entire selection of FVP batteries today and view our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals. Save big.